A Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned in to the R1 News, your stop for news and current affairs on the airwaves. 11 to 12 weekdays here on Radio 1 91 FM. Te reo irirangi kotahi.
Tēnā koutou I tēnei ata, this is R1 News here on Radio 1, Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi, for Rahina Te Kaumātoru o Pipiri, Monday the 13th of June. Ko Quinton tēnei, and I'll be taking you through the stories today from now until 12 o'clock. Coming up on the program I tēnei rā, we have Dave with the headlines and weather. Then I'll be speaking to Alex Avs, a University of Canterbury PhD student who found microplastics in Antarctic snow for the first time. And then I'll be speaking with Amber, a University of Otago student who recently got stuck on a bus when their driver deviated from the route to get pizza for lunch. And then finally, we'll have Dave back in the studio again to talk about the Stanley Cup finals, which kicked off this week. And coming up right now, here is Dave with the headlines and weather.
The R1 News headlines.
Morena. Cleanup begins on the Kapiti Coast this morning after storms ravaged the region overnight. Tornadoes, hail and heavy rain battered the North Island coast last night, destroying fences, trampolines and even one car. 9,700 lightning strikes were recorded overnight last night, with over 1.5 metres of snow settling in the Auraki Mount Cook National Park. Many roads across the South Island were closed last night, including Lewis Pass, Arthur's Pass and Lindis Pass, creating problems for those wishing to travel between the east and west coasts of the South Island. Last night saw Met Service issuing 42 severe weather warnings across the country as storms worked their way across Aotearoa. Aotearoa faced a spate of cold weather across the weekend, with snow down to 200 metres and sleet seen across many of the suburbs on the hills. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is set to announce a minor cabinet reshuffle this afternoon, following a Labour Party caucus meeting this morning. This comes after Police Minister Poto Williams has faced criticism in recent weeks amid a spike in gang violence in Tamaki Makaurau. The National Party have been calling for Williams' resignation over the past week. Other ministers have faced criticism over the past few weeks, including Minister for Local Government and Foreign Affairs Nanaia Mahuta, who is currently dealing with criticism as the Three Waters legislation makes its way through Parliament, and as the Chinese Foreign Minister makes his way across the Pacific. Much of the criticism towards Mahuta has been rebuked as racist by supporters of the minister. The US Senate has announced a cross-party legislation on gun control after a spate of shootings over the last month has renewed calls for the land of the free to reign in their current laissez-faire legislation. Many critics, however, are saying this newly proposed legislation doesn't go far enough. The new legislation would see stricter background checks for those under the age of 21 and attempt to crack down on illegal firearm sales. It does not, however, prevent those under 21 from purchasing high-powered firearms, introduce mandatory background checks on all purchases, or ban assault rifles, a proposal which US President Joe Biden has been advocating for. The proposed legislation is being called a step in the right direction by both US President Joe Biden and Senate Majority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer. Democrats need the support of 10 Republican senators to get their legislation through the Senate and overcome the filibuster, the biggest roadblock to substantial change in the United States. That was the headlines here on R1 News. Now the weather.
The Radio 1 91 FM weather.
Cold weather continues to plague the South Island today, with a forecast high of 9 degrees. Rain this afternoon, with cold southwesterly winds developing throughout the day. Tomorrow is a high of 10 degrees, with showers all day and possible snow about the hills in the afternoon. A cool 4 degrees overnight. That was the weather here on R1 News.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram, and tune in to R1 News at 11 a.m. on weekdays.
I should have called you on your birthday. Could have picked up the phone. I keep trying to justify. Well, I was sitting home alone. your breath is gone. I should have called you on your birthday. I wish I'd seen you on the Friday. Could have said what was on my mind. Instead, I'm talking with an echo. But I keep waiting up, waiting all night. Waiting up, waiting all night. Waiting up, waiting all night. Waiting up. I'm packing you up tomorrow. Throwing it all away. Are we selling it all for nothing? Don't wanna leave behind, leave behind. Don't wanna leave behind, leave behind. Try to fit into your old clothes, to find the notes you used to hold. A pocket full of memories. Why can't you be here to read them to me?
That was Georgia Lines with Leave Behind here on R1 News on Radio 1, Te Reo Irirangi, Kotahi 91 FM. A recent study out of the University of Canterbury has found microplastics in Antarctic snow for the first time. Recently, microplastics seem to be popping up everywhere, in food, fish, and even in human blood, the effects of which are still yet to be fully understood. The study found plastics at an average concentration of 29 particles per litre of melted snow, a concentration higher than that found in the ocean on the sites surrounding Ross Island, where the samples were collected. Concentrations of microplastics were highest near research bases in Antarctica, such as McMurdo and Scott Base. The origins of these plastics are still yet to be determined. I'm joined on the phone now by Alex Aves, University of Canterbury PhD student whose research found these microplastics in Antarctica. Mōrena, Alex, it's great to have you on the phone.
Mōrena, Quentin, how are you going?
I'm brilliant. How are you?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you.
So can you tell me, did the findings of these microplastics surprise you?
Yeah, they definitely did. I think when we were going into the study initially, we thought that there would be samples from those remote areas that we were sampling from that definitely wouldn't have anything in them, especially because no one had looked at this kind of fresh snow before in the area. So we thought we would maybe find some in the sites closer to base from that local pollution, but those further away sites was really surprising, especially, like you said at the start there, when we compared them to other studies in the area, in the marine environment, they were higher than some of those concentrations. They definitely were still lower than those reported in Arctic snow, but it was definitely a surprising find for sure.
And so what does the findings of these microplastics mean for the health of the environment in Antarctica?
Yeah, so the Antarctic is obviously kind of a place that's seen as quite an untouched environment. There is obviously, in the areas that there are bases, there's quite densely populated areas near those bases because it is the only place that people can go and work from because of the harsh environment. But it does kind of mean that when they get into the environment down there, it's as it is an indicator area, they basically will disrupt that normal ecosystem processes that you see down in the Antarctic. So organisms down there have evolved over many millions of years for these unique environments. And so as soon as you add a pollutant like microplastics in there, it does have the potential to disrupt those processes. And we do know that microplastics can have harmful impacts on organisms. They can enter the digestive systems, which can then stop them from feeding and things like that. We know that there's even negative health effects for humans as well.
And so what steps would then need to be taken to prevent microplastics from making their way into the snow down in Antarctica?
So I think the biggest thing is obviously just our initial plastic production. So that's kind of a very global level solution. But if we can actually limit our production of plastics, then we can limit the pollution that ends up in the environment, which normally leads to the degradation of larger plastics and then therefore these microplastics that we're kind of finding in the air and in these snow samples. So that kind of higher level, global cooperation to actually change our use of plastics around the world is really essential. There's obviously things we can do at all levels. So as individual, just limiting our use as much as possible of single-use plastics is a really good place to start. And then obviously in the Antarctic, most of the National Antarctic programs are quite well aware of the inputs they have into the environment and do work quite closely with waste management practices, but actually just, continuing these processes and trying to figure out ways we can really limit our plastic use and consumption to limit that pollution is important.
And so the plastics found in the snow down in Antarctica, could they increase the rate of snow melt down there, or kind of just what relation do they have to climate change?
Yeah, so I guess initially there is this whole point that plastic production in itself literally relies on oil and gas, which can directly lead and contribute to climate change. So that's kind of a big thing. But then what we know of microplastics in the air, there is emerging research on this. And at that global scale, they do have the potential to actually influence the climate by accelerating melting of snow and ice, just because of the properties they have, those kind of optical properties. And we do also know from research that my supervisor, Laura, did, who's also an author on this paper last year, she looked at the influence they have to interact with light in the atmosphere, these little microplastic particles. And so they're able to scatter and absorb the light in the atmosphere, and then that can actually influence the temperature of Earth. And the other thing that we kind of have some basic info on is also their potential to actually interfere with cloud formation processes, which again can have those global effects on the climate too.
And so these plastics that were found in the fresh snow, your research said it could have come from both in the air and from people. Which do you think is more likely, or is it some combination of the two?
Yeah, so we definitely kind of conclude in our paper we can't single out either. So it is a combination of those two. It is quite likely that those local sources do play more of a role, just because we did go and analyse kind of some of the gear that's actually used down in Antarctica by some of the programs, and there is similarities between the compositions we found in our samples and those clothing fibres and things like that. And obviously it is quite, like I said before, there's this quite strong influence just because everyone is in one area. So that definitely plays a role. The long-range influence is something that, we're still trying to figure out how far these plastics can actually move and how far they are travelling, but our models that we did to actually look at the airflows for this study showed that they could have come from anywhere over 6,000 kilometres away, which would have that's from over the Southern Ocean. So there is this idea that they can be picked up out of the ocean, transferred through the air, and then deposited in snowfall. So both options we know probably do play a role.
And finally, Alex, what are the next steps for this research?
Yeah, so there's still a lot of unknowns. We still are lacking these observational studies to actually know these general concentrations around the world in airborne microplastics. So more field studies is quite important just so we are able to use those in future models to actually look at these wider climatic effects. We also still don't quite know the health effects and the actual extent of that. We know that there are negative things that happen from the ingestion of microplastics, and we know that they're not good for humans either, but we don't really know how much of a role they are playing in that negative health effects as well. So looking at that is quite important, and especially on remote regions like Antarctica, it obviously can be quite sensitive to these changes, so furthering our understanding in the Antarctic and remote areas is also important.
Excellent. When will you next get to go down to the ice to take more samples?
There's nothing planned quite yet, but maybe sometime over the next couple of seasons.
Oh, exciting. Well, I hope you enjoy that trip.
Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on the show, Alex. It's been a pleasure.
That's a pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks. That was Alex Aves, a University of Canterbury PhD student who recently found microplastics in Antarctic snow. Coming up on the show, I will be speaking to Amber, a University of Otago student who got stuck on a bus when their driver decided to go and get lunch. But before that, here is Dudley Benson, with It's Ootipoti's Fault here on R1 News on Radio 1.
Thank you.
is sometimes still there. She knows she's free to go. Tragedy is not listening to your stomach. Sadness comes when you don't follow your feet. The worst thing you can do is put up with it. Many have drowned in the depths of
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
That's right, you are listening to R1 News here on Radio 1 91 FM. It is 26 minutes past 11, and if you have any questions, queries or comments about the show, you can always text in on 0212 Radio 1. That is 0212 272 3461. Just before you heard After Winter by Pluto, and before that one was It's Ōtiputi's Fault by Dudley Benson. Coming up right now on the show, I spoke to Amber, a University of Otago student who was stuck on a bus on their way to uni after the bus driver went up to Hell Pizza to get their lunch rather than continuing to the stop.
An Otago University student was stuck on a bus when their driver deviated from the route to get Hell Pizza for lunch. Otago University student Amber was catching the number 37 bus into university when her driver missed the turn onto Albany Street.
It was doing the normal route, like it does. It was kind of quiet because, you know, middle of the day, was heading in for like lunchtime. And instead of turning down Albany Street, he just kept driving on the one way. And I was like, this is really weird. And it kind of like at the junction, it looked like maybe there was a car in the way and he just missed his turn, didn't know the route. It was the day before Hyde Street. So like in my head, I was just like, maybe it's something to do with like Hyde Street setup or his turn doesn't know the route. Like, who knows? And he kept driving. I was like, okay, maybe he's just going to like turn down a different route. And then he pulled in on like around like where Fatty Lane, like all the food shops are. He was like looking at his paper and stuff, and I was like, okay. And then he went out and looked at the numbers on the bus and then locked the doors.
Unsure what to do in that situation, Amber called the council, who told her to sit tight while they attempted to contact the driver. When the driver still hadn't appeared, a friend of Amber's ended up going to Hell Pizza to find the driver, who then came and drove both Amber and her friend to the university.
I ended up ringing the council because I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I break the window? Like, what do I do? Rang the council, like, got through, like, on the bus people. And, like, they laughed because they were like, this has never happened before. Like, it's so random. And then they said, like, oh, bring us back in a few minutes. Like, if you've not heard anything, if the bus driver's not come back, we just got to try and, like, contact the person. About 10 minutes later, like, some people from my group were like, I'm on the way, like, coming to save you. And I still hadn't heard anything. So I rang the council back. It was a different person who picked up and explained it again. And they were like, this has never happened before. This is so weird. So obviously, and they were, like, still trying to contact, like, the person. So they were trying to go through. So they put me on hold. And by that point, one of the classmates had reached the bus and was like, the driver's still in Hell's Pizza. So they went across the road and went in to Hell's Pizza and was like, is anyone here a bus driver? And the guy was like, yeah. And then was like, my friend's on your bus. And they was like, but I'm on my break. It's like, repeated it again, like, my friend is on your bus, like, right now, sort of thing. And eventually, like, the bus driver came out and he was just like, like, by this point, like, council had just, like, taken me off hold, so heard the exchange and was like, it was like, oh, like, why didn't you say anything? I was like, I didn't know if it was a new, like, you got the route wrong, like, if you didn't know the route, like, if it was something with High Street, like, there's a whole number of things of why the could be on a new route, like, who knows? And then he luckily gave us a lift back to uni, so we didn't have to, apparently he left his pizza in Hell's Pizza to
Doug Rogers, Transport Manager for the Otago Regional Council, confirmed for R1 News that an incident had been followed up and that Amber was given some funding for her B-card and a sincere apology. When asked if it was normal for drivers to deviate from their planned route for lunch prior to the route completion, Rogers told R1 News that this was an employment matter and as such wasn't in the council's purview. Otago Regional Council currently contracts their bus service from both GoBus and Ritchie's Transport. In overall good spirits, Amber said she was glad that the incident had happened to her rather than a younger child catching the bus by themselves.
And I was like, my main concern was if it was a small child.
Yeah.
Like, once if kids, because there's a lot of kids who use the bus. Like, once if it was a small child who used the bus, didn't know what was happening, doesn't have necessarily a phone to ring someone, and is stuck in the bus.
Bus drivers in Ōtiputi are in the midst of unprecedented driver shortages, resulting from both illness and general shortage across the industry. As a result, routes have been regularly cancelled and drivers have been working longer shifts.
That was Otago University student Amber, who was stuck on a bus when their driver went to get lunch, not realising anyone else was on their bus. Coming up on the show now, we have Park Road with Control, and then after that I'll be speaking to Radio 1's resident hockey fan Dave Borry about the finals of the Stanley Cup in the NHL.
Zealand on air. Without you, we are nothing. Love and Placebos. Radio 1, 91 FM.
We want to hear your thoughts. Text in to 0212 Radio 1.
Given the way the world's changing, so many people raging, I try not to let it get me down. 1 minute up and wired, the next I'm all so tired. Stronger, hold on a little bit longer. That's what they're telling me.
blended, shifted lighter amongst the crowd. I hear the voices raised, I know their hands are high, united all together underneath the same sky. And when I'm old and grey, looking back upon these days, I'll know that I was blessed to be a part of all these raves. Experiences nobody could ever take away, so I give thanks and gratitude until my dying day.
Until we meet again.
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
right here.
You got me.
You're listening to R1 News here on Radio 1 91 FM. It's been a few songs since I last checked in with you, but the last one was right here featuring Carrie Baxter with Otto-san and the Shadow Child. And before that, you had Who I Am Now with Bryony Matthews. I'm joined in the studio right now by Radio 1's resident hockey commentator, Dave Borry, to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. I'm great to be back here in the studio with you, Quinton. It's been a fantastic show.
Oh, it has been. It's been fun. Yeah. So, first week, Stanley Cup Finals.
Yes, the big show. The big show's back. We're, of course, talking about the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. They start this week on Thursday, the 16th of June. This is, of course, ice hockey for those who have not wet their, what is it, cut their teeth in the world of the Stanley Cup yet.
So who's playing?
It's against the finals will be the Colorado Avalanche against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And this is one thing that I think most people who are fans of hockey appreciate is it's always such a you know, it's not always going to be the same two teams. You know, it's not always the Crusaders, Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup Finals. It could be anyone.
Could be anyone. Who's the one to watch? Where would your money go at the TAB?
Oh, I don't bet because I'm not very good. I just don't think it's a good idea. But I would put my money on the Colorado Avalanche, but that's my heart. That's a heart bet. Mm-hmm. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are probably the safer bet. So the Tampa Bay Lightning have been in, they've won the last 2 years, so they're the two-time defending champs, which is very rare in the Stanley Cup Finals. They just knocked out the New York Rangers yesterday, 2-1. So this puts them to this two-time defending champs. They want it back. They want it back. The Colorado Avalanche have not been in the Stanley Cup Finals since 2001.
2001. 21 years. Jesus.
Legally, they can drink since that's how long it's been. But it's, you know, it's not looking good for the, well, it is looking good. Colorado have been my team ever since I started
watching.
I mean,
making it to
hockey.
The finals is always looking good, right?
Absolutely. But their starting goaltender, Darcy Kemper, out with an upper body injury, and actually was out halfway through the series against Edmonton Oilers, which was just last week. So their stalwart, their powerhouse in goal, will no longer be there. It'll be Powell Francou replacing them. So we'll see how Powell goes.
How's Powell performed so far? Have we got an idea?
Well, he got them through the series with the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay.
It was a tough series. It was a sweep as well. You don't see that often. They won four games. So they got through into the finals in four games, which is absolutely incredible. So if you want to watch it, which I highly recommend you do have to get a little bit devious with where you go to watch it. I'm still yet to find somewhere in Dunedin that is the Stanley Cup Finals. But it's Thursday the 16th of June. That's New Zealand time, by the way, at 12 p.m.
Oh, okay. One to watch.
Not one to miss, that's
not
for sure.
Not one to miss. And so Dunedin's got a bit of an ice hockey scene.
Yes.
Yes.
So in the New Zealand Ice Hockey League, the Dunedin team is the Phoenix Thunder. They're absolutely amazing. The Green Machine, as people
the
like
Green
to
Machine.
Call them.
Did they steal their name from the Wellington Phoenix, or did the Wellington Phoenix steal their name?
That's a great question. I'd like to say the Wellington Phoenix took that name.
I'll believe that.
Yeah, of course. Don't fact check that. And if you're interested in the NZIHL, I think you should all head down to the team naming of the Phoenix Thunder for this year, for 2022, at New this Saturday at 5 p.m.
Again, not one to miss?
Not one to miss. Certainly not. And the first game of the season, they've had the pre-season of the NZIHL. The first game of the season is in Queenstown on the 24th of June. So, if you're a student that's studying and heading back to Queenstown to do some skiing after your exams, why not on that Friday night? There's two games, a Friday and a Saturday game. Head on down to the Queenstown Ice Skating Rink to see the Phoenix Thunder and the Sky City Stampede take it on head to head.
Head to head. Who's your money in that game?
Again,
again, not a betting man.
Not a betting man, and for the reason as I bet with my heart, not my mind, the Thunder. Always the Phoenix
Always
Thunder.
Always the Phoenix Thunder. Oh, well, again, not one to miss.
Not one to miss, exactly.
I know what I'm doing on the 24th then.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you for joining me,
no
Davis.
No trouble. Thank you so much for having me.
Right now, we have Silas Futura with Snapper here on R1 News. That brings me to the end of the show. It's been a pleasure to be back in the studio. Tune in weekdays 11 till 12 for Radio 1's R1 News flagship news show.
Like okay boomer. Rumor has it though, the changes on the precipice. So less of this emphasis on fronting like a pessimist. Just the soften blows. All the times I gotta know, was a lesson or a blessing, manifesting in a rotten wall. So it's no more pee yelling out poor me. I mean the truth is corny, but sometimes we find ourselves addicted to a narrative of pain and perplexity, just to add some character. Yeah, I took a couple L's on the chin, just to walk away with a way thicker skin. I count my blessings though, now where do I begin? Even coming off wins was a win. I used to roll around the town like it's what was me. Just found out I'm exactly who I'm supposed to be. Extra, extra, read all about it. I used to hate my baggage, now what would I be without it, huh?
Let your fire on the water, baby, I've come alive. Tell me something, isn't it mine? Coming to find out love about anything. Electrified, underwater, baby, I've come alive.
te tautoko te reo irirangi kotahi ki te reo Māori.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.